welcome back to another Daily Walk. Well, today I want to talk a little bit about why does God allow suffering? And I received this little booklet from John MacArthur, late John MacArthur, of course, sadly recently passed away, fought a good fight and ran a good race. And man is in heaven smiling down at probably still up there shaking hands of people that he brought to Christ through his massive ministry. But this one here is part of his Know Your Bible series, talking a little bit about suffering specifically. And I have a few thoughts that were not specifically in the book, but I did want to go ahead and cover it because this is a useful one. I don't know if I can find this one online yet. Sometimes when I do the daily walks on these booklets, they're not yet available online. So you can search for the title of this, Why Does God Allow So Much Suffering, on gty.org. And eventually these will be up there available to buy. But since I'm on his mailing list, I usually get these things before they're actually available for sale. Today I wanted to talk a little bit about this because it is one of those questions of our modern era where a lot of atheists look down and see so much crazy suffering in the world and question, you know, does God exist? Or if he does exist, does he have power over it? And so that's why this little booklet was written. It really goes into a lot of the scriptures about the principles of suffering and things like that. And so just to follow through his layout here, he starts in talking about the fact that evil exists. So, you know, on this planet before the glorification of God, evil exists. And there's a number of different reasons evil exists. You know, just because evil happened to you doesn't mean you sinned. Sometimes it's just a consequence of being in a fallen and natural world. So he talks about a couple different types of evil, like a natural evil. So the natural evil is going to cover things like, you know, viruses and illnesses and things that kind of have mutated through our world and did being illnesses, thorns and brambles and things like this, part of the curse. All of these really are part of the curse. But we get into and see the natural evils in natural disasters and diseases and things like this. And then there are moral evils. Moral evils occur when people transgress the nature and the character of God. And so a moral evil itself is something that is wrong, that is kind of, we'll use the word under the will of an evil person or under the will of a natural person who committed such evil against the character of God. Then he gets into supernatural evil. This is the forces like the demonic forces. There are indeed demonic forces running around seeking to make us stumble, seeking to make us fall, seeking to damage our witness for Christ. And these types of supernatural evils do exist. These are the ones that we need to pay a lot of attention to because we can't do a whole lot about a natural disaster that shows up. You know, moral evils, we might be more susceptible to moral evils depending on where we live, where we go, and who we associate with. But those are all things you can usually control. These supernatural evils, kind of like if you've never read the book by C.S. Lewis, The Screwtape Letters, that is an excellent book you should read, really talking about the interplay of how the demons work with us. It's all a fictional thing. It's a greater demon teaching a lesser demon how to tempt a man to sin. And it is definitely an interesting book that really covers a lot of the psychology and philosophy of satanic attacks. And that's kind of the supernatural evil. Then he gets into the eternal evil. The eternal evil is hell. This is when a person dies without Christ, the final resting state, the lake of fire. This is hell. This is an eternal evil. It is so bad that we just can't, just like we cannot imagine the great things God has in store for us going to heaven, we also cannot imagine the bad things God has in store for those whom have rejected him and spend an eternity in hell. And then he talks a little bit about the God of the scriptures. So obviously, God is real. He reveals himself in scriptures. That is the main point of the scriptures, is to reveal God and the plan of salvation before men. And as part of that, God either is impotent to it or not. And the question is, can he Can he control? Could he stop evil here on this planet? Yes, he could stop evil here on this planet. But this planet is not here to stop evil. This planet is here to test the hearts and the minds of those people whom would follow him. So ultimately, God does will evil to exist. Now, some people have speculated that since there is evil and there is this eternal God who allegedly is good, that there must be two possible reasons for evil to exist. One of those is that God is actually impotent to stop evil. And a reason because these people come to these conclusions because they tend to believe that God's purpose is to make this present world great for us all. You've been spending too much time reading Joel Osteen. If your best life is now, you're not saved. Because if your best life is now, you're going to hell. Because this world is the only hell a believer will ever see and the only heaven a non-believer will ever see. It is that balance. If this is your best life now, you do not want to know where you're going later. All right. God is not impotent, though. God is able to control this. Oftentimes, though, he allows it because it is perfect for us. In fact, that's what it tells us in James chapter 1. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith will produce endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be complete and perfect, lacking in nothing. Now, the other reason people suggest that there's evil is that God is ignorant of it. There's even a whole theological view, process theology, that suggests that God doesn't even really know what's going on in the world and won't know what's going on in the world until after it all happens. Like, he's just up there waiting to see how the world unfolds to react. That's utter nonsense. So why does God allow evil to exist? So first question people ask is, is the evil here the yin-yay? Is it balance out the evil? Does good balance out the evil? Evil balance out the good? No, it's not necessarily that. It's that evil is defined morally as that which is against God. And that's something that's hard for us to comprehend. When we spend eternity in heaven, there will be no more evil. It will be a foreign thing. And is God's priority our free will? Obviously, some evil that happens, these moral evils we talked about at the beginning here, are the result of people's free will. Now, do I believe in free will to the point where I believe a person has free will to choose their salvation? No. But we do have free will to choose how we sin, and we do have free will to operate under the salvation that God grants us through his sovereign choice. That is where free will sits. Yes, there is free will among men, which can lead certainly to some evil, but does God have priority over that free will? Yes. God can actually change that. And then he also talks about the praise to God's glory. Evil is there so that we can see the praise and the glory of evil. Now, I'm going to do a little parenthetical here, something that's not in the books, because I've thought a lot about this in my life. And I think of it this way, that the evil is here so we see what the good of love is. See, if there is no evil, we have no frame of reference of what is good, what is righteous, what is holy, what is wonderful, what is lovely, what is pure, those things that we should be dwelling upon, according to Philippians 3. The fact of the matter is we have to have an element of evil. So we have to see it in the world to know what it isn't. We have to see the evil to know that we are sinners. We have to see that evil inside of ourselves in order to repent unto Christ. And that's really what leads us into the last point, the cross and the purpose for God's evil. The purpose of the cross is to save us. But remember, that biggest part of salvation is when we look down, and unless you are saved from your sins, what are you saved from? And this is unfortunately a part of our modern church age, is we do not want to talk about specific sins. We just talk about sin in the general, more nebulous way. The fact of the matter is, though, is that sin, when we look at it, we have to address sin from the perspective of actualities. What is actually being done? What are the actual deeds of sin? We do not like to call that out because, you know, you call out certain sins and you get labeled as the megaphobe, you know? That's a coin I termed on my other channel. It just means that, you know, you're one of these people that the leftists tend to hate. So instead of actually building arguments against you, they label you as Islamophobe and transphobe and homophobe and phobe. Just call me a megaphobe, okay? Because I believe in what the Word of God says, and that's kind of the point of it. So the fact of the matter matter is that the cross is there to save us from our sins. And the very first step is to admit we are a sinner in very specific ways and in very specific terms. God, I recognize I'm a sinner. I have sinned in this very specific way. I have sinned in hatred. I've sinned in the sin of homosexuality. I have sinned being aggressive in a short temper. I've sinned in loving money rather than you. I have sinned in turning away from what is good and righteous. I have sinned in allowing people to get hurt so that I could build myself up. I have sinned in these specific ways. Lord, forgive me for this. And that is the purpose of the cross. The evil shows us why our need for God is there and the cross. And so that's what I want to leave you with. If I can find this book, I'll link it down below. If not, it's possible it's not on the website yet. So have a look. Why Does God Allow So Much Suffering on gty.org if you want to see if you can get yourself a copy of that. Thanks for watching. I hope that you enjoy your daily walk and our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.